This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. That's mandolinist Joe Brent. The composer and teacher is well-traveled and well-versed, performing classical mainstays like Bach and Calace, and jamming alongside pop artists like Regina Spektor and Jewel. Since graduating from the Berklee College of Music in 1999, his music has traced his personal journey and the continuing evolution of the mandolin. His newest incarnation is with a trio called Nine Horses, and the ensemble's debut album, Perfectest Herald, was released last year. They're performing at Amiskeg Studio in Manchester on Thursday, November 17th. And Joe Brent, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much for having me. Great to be here.
So quite a range of sound in your background, jazz improvisation, pop music. I don't really think of these genres as mandolinish.
Well, you know, the instrument is just the vessel through which you express yourself, your creativity, your voice. And I play a lot of other instruments. I actually started on violin, but mandolin just sort of felt like my voice because it combined a lot of the good stuff about violin along with being able to accompany yourself the way that a guitarist can do. There wasn't, you know, some sort of conscious construct that I wanted to, you know, say, well, I'm going to identify myself, you know, in this one particular way. It really just was a matter of I knew the music that I wanted to make, and I felt more comfortable making it on that instrument. And that being said, you know, I don't do a whole lot of solo stuff. It's always in conjunction with other musicians.
Well, let's hear some of that music from Perfectest Herald. This is Nine Horses.
Right now is Sarah Caswell on violin, who is in Esperanza Spalding's band and David Krakauer's band, and she was in the house band of the Maya and Marty show just recently. Probably one of the best improvising violin players of all times. Really an extraordinary virtuoso. And then we have Andrew Ryan on bass, who's new to the group. For many years, had Sean Conley on bass, but he's now pretty much full-time with Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble. And Andrew was actually one of Sean's students for a while. And, you know, we all have like a little music crush on him. He came in and his first gig with us was this huge competition that we just did recently. And he came in and learned all our music, which is not easy music, and just was amazing. And so he's now the full-time bass player. And, you know, both of those players, you know, are in the same mold as I am, where we have a lot of different music in our background, classical background. We all improvise. We all love bluegrass. We all love rock music, and treat it all with equal seriousness. You know, it's not like we're classical players who are just sort of dabbling in jazz and play it with an accent, you know, as they say. We're real jazz players and we're real classical players. And that's all part of this music that we're trying to make.
Well, the mandolins that you play are also quite beautiful and expansive. You know, it's not your standard. The handiwork of a man called Brian Dean, I guess. So what's that relationship like with your mandolin maker and that bond between you and your instruments?
You know, you can go to Guitar Center or Sam Ash or, you know, a vintage dealer and find a really nice instrument, and that's great, but if you do this full time and you have the kind of relationship with your instrument that a professional musician develops and that I certainly have developed, I feel like it's important to find an instrument that's really for you and was made for you, for the music that you play, for the venues that you play in, you know, even for the way that your hand is structured. And so I met Brian a few years ago, I think in 2009. I was at a mandolin convention, and these can be tedious affairs. And so I saw this guy, you know, exhibiting his instruments, and he had long hair and was wearing a Misfits t-shirt. And I said, I want to hang out with that guy. And, you know, he just sort of turned out by random chance to be pretty much the Stradivarius of the mandolin, and his instruments were extraordinary. And no two of his instruments are alike. He only makes customized things for players, specifically, you know, kind of like what I was just saying. It's for what you do. And then just recently I had an electric five-string made for me by a guy named Adam Buchwald, who's based out of Burlington, Vermont, with fan frets, sort of like Charlie Hunter's guitar. I use it for sort of the rockier, jazzier elements of what we do.
That's a recording of Joe Brent playing on his fantastical custom creation mandolin. The clip is on YouTube. It's really worth seeing. You can check it out at wordofmouthradio.org. Well, you've written a couple books about mandolin pedagogy. So are you sort of ushering in a new era for the mandolin?
We're a relatively young instrument. It's really, you know, we went from sort of our early incarnations, we mandolinists, our instrument, really only became the modern version of what it is now sometime in the 19th century. But, you know, within the 20th century, it sort of took off in popularity, especially in chamber music, and then certainly in bluegrass. Bill Monroe and, you know, extraordinary bluegrass musicians. And, you know, all over the world, wherever you see plucked string instruments, they're all descendants of the banjo, which came up from Africa with the griots. And in every culture, it was assimilated in its own unique way. So in Spain, it became guitarra and then eventually guitar. In the Middle East, it became the oud. And then in France and England, it became the lute, which is just the French word for the oud. You know, and then in Italy, it became a mandolino and then eventually mandolin. And in all of these cultures, it retains an element of the folk tradition. You know, I like to say that, like, the harp is played by harpists, whereas the mandolin is played by your Uncle Bob on the porch. And so what I'm trying to do with the instrument is really very unique. I'm not trying to influence anyone else, just trying to make the music that I want to make, you know, that I hear. But what I would love for music in general to do is to sort of break down that wall between what we call folk art and fine art, and have, you know, bluegrass bands playing at Carnegie Hall and classical recitals at, you know, in clubs and stuff, and, you know, have music be a thing that you can go out to hear any night of the week, pretty much anywhere, rather than saying, I'm now going to go to a classical hall and hear classical music. You know, I want the music that you experience in the world to reflect the tastes of my generation and younger, who are downloading music one track at a time and have these very eclectic, you know, music collections, whereas, you know, maybe earlier that might not have been true.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for, I guess, spreading the gospel of the mandolin.
Well, I'll take that. Great. Thank you.
And we're going to leave you with the track from Perfectest Harvest. Joe Brent is an author, teacher, and mandolinist. Better than your Uncle Bob, I'm going to say. He'll be performing with Nine Horses on Thursday, November 17th at the Amiskeg Studio in Manchester. You'll find a link to more information about the show and plus those videos to see him playing on his fantastic-looking mandolins at wordofmouthradio.org.